The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What We Said podcast. We have a very special, gorgeous, beautiful, creative genius in the studio with us today. We have the one and only Ty French.
What's up, you guys? Valley Girls, I missed you.
Valley
I'm happy
Girls
to be back.
Assemble. The Rat King is in the building.
The Rat King's here. Tyrants. Valley Girls should be a circle. Unfortunately, it is currently a Venn diagram. The Valley Girls side is bigger, and I just need to say something before we start. I've gotten a lot better at podcasting, I swear. So if you gave what used to be the Ty French podcast, is now Ty Rants, a chance at the start because you believed in me and you believe that the Valley Girls, you know, wouldn't steer you wrong. And maybe I got a little boring. Maybe I needed to learn my way. I've learned the way. So listen to the last few episodes of Tyrants because I really feel like I'm popping my posse. I feel like I've really found my niche and you'll like it.
You've been slaying. Anyone who listening back to the first episodes of your podcast, if you started, is just, not yours specifically, no, anyone.
Mine specifically, particularly and objectively terrible. Nails on chalkboard.
I'm telling you, it's just a universal thing. You listen back and you're like, how did anyone keep listening? It's crazy how you realize it's somewhat of a skill to talk.
100%.
Or how you improve over time.
Yeah.
And I'm like to think
for
I do.
From the beginning.
But then I still listen to these ones and I'm like,
yeah,
shut up. But your podcast has been slaying. I've been listening. I'm one behind, I think, but I've been listening to every episode. They come out so much.
Oh, my gosh. And trust me, I'm working hard for you ladies and gentlemen and non-binary community.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Chels is on maternity leave, as you guys know. She's doing great.
We love you, Chels.
Love you, Chels. And I got the next best thing.
I finally learned if you're watching on YouTube, thanks. And I finally learned the Gen Z heart. It took me a while and it took a lot of practice. We got to talk about how we went from this gorgeous, cute, heart to this making me look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And this is a skill.
It is. It actually took me a second, too.
And then to learn how to just do the one.
Yeah. No, but I learned that and then I did it and people were like, yeah, let's just say don't do that. And I was like, oh.
Oh, wait. I feel like everyone does that. But now is that Chugi?
No, it's not Chugi. I think it's like a gang symbol or something.
Cool. We're like... Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
it's so bad. I've been trying to teach my friends. Don't worry. But now I'm like, is that just Chugi? Do we just got to stick with the millennial way?
Because
now we're just trying hard.
I think the word Chugi is Chugi at this
point. Oh, I can't keep up with you Gen Z rats.
So anyway, I have tea. I have piping hot tea that I have been...
simmering?
It has been simmering. It's been boiling over.
The kettle's boiling.
I have been wanting to FaceTime you and talk about it, and I have specifically waited
for
this moment. I'm going to save my disclaimers for the end.
Because did you listen to Tyrants? A recent episode on Tyrants, I talk about disclaimers. I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
We don't owe you disclaimers. If you don't like it, get with the program. Understand context of conversations. Okay?
Thank you. No, we're going to talk more about that.
Okay.
Remind me, because we need to talk more about that. But I will be giving disclaimers.
Okay, great.
Okay. So I have a previous owner update.
Oh, my.
And it has transferred now from previous owner to neighbor. This is what we're dealing with now, okay?
And it's going to transfer from nice to legal action.
You are not going to be well. You're really not going to be well. So the last thing I updated, I'm not going to like go through the whole timeline of events, but... the last thing I had updated on the podcast and just like the last thing that had happened was that I had seen them drive by when I was with Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then I had talked to my contractor and he was like, oh, they actually had come by.
Yeah.
Asked what changes we were making. Then the neighbors who were friends with that couple.
Right.
They were good friends.
Right.
Because they like had lived there for a long time. Then the neighbors had come by and said like, oh, what changes are you making? Could we come in and take a look and see what?
How did I come inside your house? Can I take a look at your home?
I know. And see what changes you're making because our previous neighbors worked really hard on the house. They basically used the same verbiage as the owners had used, using them as a vessel, if you will, the owners, you know?
I'd like to back up JC's claims that there was no special work done on this house. I've seen it. I saw the before. There was no special work. No craftsmanship. No history. Family tradition. Nothing. Heinous.
I have been gaslit into going back to the original listing photos to make sure I'm not actually going insane.
Hate it.
Anyway, so by the way, I had never said that our contractor, when they asked, said, no, you can't come in. Like, I would have to get permission from the homeowner for that. I don't think I ever specified. So people were like, did your contractor let them in? No, he did not let them into the house. So that's good. And we love him. Anyway, so that's the last thing that had happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, crazy. So Leif has the number of our neighbors and he has been in communication. Like anytime they've had anything to say or just like even in the past, whatever. Any type of communication has been done through Leif. Like I don't even have
The man.
Yeah, exactly. And also because I'm like, I'm pregnant and I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah, I don't want any drama.
Yeah, I'm protecting my peace. So Leif has been in communication with them, like, not a ton, but just
I was gonna say, hopefully it's minimal.
It is very minimal, but they had asked for our number like really early on because we were doing work on the house. We were gonna be out of town anyway. So that's how they have each other's numbers. And have we gone over the plant situation?
Like
on the podcast?
I think so. Because the neighbors like asked if you were going to get rid of plants that they wanted some, right?
Yeah. So basically the front yard, there are plants in the front yard that we're not going to use because we're going to completely re-landscape the whole front yard. And those same neighbors who had asked about the house and everything had said, if you're going to just get rid of those and like throw them away, would we be able to rehome them? Like, would we be able to take some of them?
Sure, please.
Yeah. And we're like, sure, we don't care because we're not using them. And so if you want them, by all means. So we had said that was totally fine. Okay, let's start with that.
I'm scared.
So I don't know the timeline of all this, but let's say like a week after the whole thing happened where they asked to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Leif and I are at the house. It's getting dark. It's like sunset and it's getting dark and there's no lights on in the house because there's no electrical done. So we have like our phone flashlights out because it had just been getting dark and we're looking at something in the house, but we're about to leave. And I hear people walking like by in the front yard. And then I hear someone being like, oh, I think there's someone in there like with a flashlight. I hear a woman say that. And we walk out and it's different neighbors that I've never met. It's like, they're down the street or something.
Yeah.
And it's like an older couple again, like same, they're all like in the same age group. Okay.
What are all these old people doing in this neighborhood?
And then she says like, oh, are you guys the owners? And we're like, yeah, we're walking out of the house. And she's like, hi, like we're your neighbors. We live like down the street. Oh gosh, I almost said one of her name. I almost name dropped. She's like, your neighbor, the one who we know, who we've been in communication with, mentioned that you're not going to use these plants and like pavers.
This isn't a yard sale.
Oh, the foreshadowing. So she's like, we were wondering if we could take any if you're not going to use them. Okay, I'm so put on the spot. And again, it's kind of one of those situations where it's just like, okay, yeah. Because literally, they're either going to go
right,
in
but
the
also,
trash.
Like, wait until I, you know, put up a sign that says,
I know,
come take these plants. Leave me alone.
I know. So we're like, so put on the spot.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
Right.
And they're just on a walk, by the way. They didn't like come over to do that, but they're like on a walk and then they're like, oh, someone's here. And so anyway, we're like, yeah, sure. This weekend, if you guys, we're trying to put it into like a time frame, not like, oh, come by anytime.
Right.
We're like, if you want to dig up any of the plants this weekend, that's fine. And they're like, what about the pavers? Like, are you going to use any, like they're asking for like anything in the yard. And we're like, sure. Like, this weekend, if you want to, like, take anything you can in the front yard.
You're like, how about your garage door? How about the windows?
Yeah. So that was kind of it. We talked a little bit more, and they were nice. They were nice enough, and then they left, okay? So let's fast forward to the weekend. It's Sunday, and I'm at, like, on a little coffee shop date with Caitlin. You know Caitlin, our friend?
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't believe I haven't seen your house yet. And I'm like, we need to, I was like, let me take you by. Like, we're so close to it. Let's just go. So she's like, yeah, I'd love to stop by and see the progress. So we pull up.
I'm terrified.
Lawn chairs.
No.
On my driveway. People I don't recognize.
How many people?
Six. So, or maybe five at the beginning. Four or five, and then it turned into like six or even maybe seven at the, okay.
If there was a barbecue, I'm literally suing. No. I'm suing.
Two like camping chairs, lawn chairs with two older women. When I pull up, I literally think it's the previous owners, first of all. And I'm like in
911 emergency
shock. I pull up and I'm like, what is happening? It's just me and Caitlin. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on? One of them I recognize. It's the one who has been in communication with Leif. So there's two chairs. Two of them are sitting. Someone's standing, like just talking to them. And then there's two people digging up the yard. Now, we'll revisit. Those two people were the people I had given permission. That was the couple that I had seen where I was like, sure, if you want to take some stuff, take some stuff. This weekend only.
I didn't say throw a neighborhood party at my house.
Yeah. Okay. So six boomers sitting on my driveway. I'm like, I cannot make this up.
Yeah.
I cannot believe. Like, what are they doing? So we pull up. We walk up to the house and I'm like, hi. And she has the audacity to say, hi, did you find out about this from Facebook?
Oh my gosh! What are you talking about?
She said,
selling the plants.
I was completely speechless because I've met her before multiple times.
Did you find out from this? I'm the owner of this house, mama. Oh.
Who are you? I'm the owner of this house.
Literally.
So I'm actually stunned speechless because I'm like, what do you mean? We've met multiple times. And
yeah. First off, you disrespect me and don't remember me. Yeah. I'm gorgeous and I'm pregnant and I'm a redhead. How many people do you meet like this? Second of all, this is my home.
And you're sitting on my driveway.
Facebook. Also, I don't go on Facebook, ma'am. Don't disrespect me again.
So I said, I'm the owner. I literally did say that. I said, I'm the owner of this house. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you. She's like, I thought you were a teenager.
I would have punched this bitch across the face. A teenager? I'm pregnant.
I know.
Once again, don't disrespect me.
I had a sweat set on. So I'm like, and I literally said that. I was like, oh, a pregnant teenager. Because you can see at this point that I have a belly. But again, I had a sweat set on. And so did Caitlin. It was like a weekend vibe. So I'm like, okay, maybe we're in these like big sweat sets. She thinks we look young, whatever. But
thank you for that, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you, actually.
the skin is glowing.
Yeah. And the neighbor next to her, I can't explain the condescending nature of just like, did you find out about this from Facebook? And I'm like, this is my house that you're sitting on my property.
You are better than me. You are better than me. I wouldn't have even got out of the car. 911 would have showed up with the cops, the police.
So she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you. Da, da, da. And she goes, did Leif not tell you I was doing this? And I go, no. And she's like, oh gosh, like, sorry. You're probably wondering what's going on. And so immediately I'm like, okay,
Leif would have told
me. Well, on one hand, I'm like, maybe they had talked and he said like, sure. But I'm like, I can't imagine him approving her. Basically,
and just never bringing it up.
She proceeds to be like, did Leif not tell you I'm doing this? Oh, from 10 to 1 today. I put your address on Facebook and I just said like, these plants can be taken, the pavers. She goes, I just couldn't in good conscience let this all go to waste.
You posted my address publicly on the internet and told strangers to come dig up my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Federal investigation.
So I am completely in shock. I am actually completely in shock. There's new neighbors coming by. Hi, like I'm a neighbor. And I'm just like, I actually am shaking. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I think she could sense that my energy was very like,
so
very
violating.
Off. Like yeah. I was super, first of all, I was offended that she didn't even know who I was. And I'm like, you're literally on my, you're sitting on my driveway.
And the lounging around.
I know. And I just feel like the power dynamic because of the age thing is such a thing. I was telling my parents.
Saying I thought you were a teenager is so disrespectful. Like jokes aside, like I just told you I'm the owner of this house.
Yeah.
Even if you thought I was a teenager, don't tell me that. Mm-hmm. Like get off my property, bitch.
I know. And I was telling my parents, I'm like, I feel like if this was your house, like they wouldn't be acting like this.
Right.
It's like because they think we're just young and they think like we're wasteful or I don't know what they think, but it's like they have this narrative about us that we're young.
And I don't care if you're the neighbor. I couldn't in good conscience let these plant go. Okay, go to friggin' a homeless shelter or something. Like go feed the hungry. Like do something else. Like you're worried about the plants in your neighbor's yard. Like
I know.
Just because you've lived here for X amount of years doesn't mean you have any sort of ownership over this house.
No,
this
not
is
at
my
all.
House.
Not at all. So, but this all being said, I'm like, I'm so shook and I'm kind of trying to be like, yeah, what? And but also she just told me that Leif knew. So I'm like, okay, obviously there's been a miscommunication and I need to speak to Leif because what's happening?
Get slapped when he gets home.
Yeah, I'm like, this is shocking. So we go inside and Caitlin's like, oh my gosh. She's like, that was the most condescending thing I've ever. And I'm like, I'm so glad you were there to witness. Like,
100%.
And anyway, so we come back out of the house. There's more people like digging up. Blah, 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 blah.
Just like strangers.
Yeah, strangers. And I'm just like, I'm actually going to go insane. So she had also said, she's like, oh, I can do this next weekend again. Like, if they don't all get taken, can I just do this again next weekend? And I said no. Like, that was the only boundary I was brave enough to put in place when there's six people who are 60 years old.
The audacity that she asked when she could tell that you were uncomfortable.
I know. So she's like, so could I do this again next weekend? I said, no, I think after today, that's enough. And I think
now I don't care. They're going in the trash.
Yeah. And I think she again sensed like, okay. So she was like, okay, I understand, whatever. And again, nice. They're nice enough. But then—
okay, but you can't hide weird behaviors behind niceness.
No, I know. It's like an excuse to be inappropriate.
Yeah, to like cross a boundary. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, they were nice. But it's like, no, she knew damn well she was crossing a boundary. Mm-hmm. And she asked to cross it again after she could tell that you were uncomfortable. I don't care if you asked politely or not.
So then I get home and I'm like—
husband.
Yeah, I'm like, Leif, did you know that she like put her address on Facebook and is having essentially a sale? She wasn't selling them for money,
that
but she was giving
better.
Them
at least
away.
Get a buck.
Yeah, she was giving them away. But I said, did you know she was going to do that? And he's like, what? He's like, no.
Oh, so now you're
he
a liar.
Said, yeah, he said she had asked if like a few of the neighbors or he had said something about the neighbors, and we thought like she was referring to the people who we just met, whatever, and her could like take some of the plants this weekend. And he said, yeah, that's fine. Like, he's like, and she said nothing about putting it on Facebook. And he was like, maybe it's like a neighborhood Facebook group. And I'm like, I don't care. And he's like, no, I agree. Like, she shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, so basically, we had sent her a message, and I think it has been well received, like, or like received at this point.
Yeah.
Because we were very firm and very like, we would appreciate if this ends now. And
like, literally leave me alone.
Yeah. And we were like we're very busy with a remodel, with pregnancy, and like, this is done. Like,
you're literally ruining like what should be one of the happiest like things ever. I've worked my entire life to get this house and remodeling it. I'm pregnant. I'm going to bring my baby into this house. And everything about this has already been so stressful. And you are adding to that.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. So that's the latest and greatest.
I just can't imagine. I don't even like talking to like people that I know.
Yeah.
Let alone, I cannot imagine going over to someone who just moved into my house, who is 40 years younger than me, and being all up in their business and like asking for things.
No.
Like, I get like being nice, and like, I do like a neighborhood aspect.
Right.
And like getting to know your neighbors. Like, we live in a time where like people are so scared to like, you know, go up to strangers and like knock on doors and whatever. So like, I like that they like came and introduced themselves and whatever. That is where it ends.
I know.
I will let you know if I need sugar for a batch of cookies. Other than that, GTFO. You're not having my plants, and leave me alone. That's like, it's giving me the energy of like when someone like who knows? When you have the kid, are you going to come knock on my door and ask to like hold it?
I know.
Bye. See you later.
I know. And we had both agreed, Leif and I were like, clearly we've set a precedent so far that we're just like chill. Like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. And I'm like, this ends now. Like, we're not continuing.
Boundary.
Yeah. To just be like, yep, come by anytime and dig up our front yard. Like, yes, does it? And that's what we were saying, is like, it's hard because does it really matter that you're going to take the plants? Like, to us, not really. Like, if we break it down, we don't care. Like, we don't
it
want
ain't
them.
About the plants.
I know, but it's deeper than that. It's like, it's the fact that you have entitlement to our property, and that we're not, like, clearly we're being too chill, even though I think it's so bizarre that they're all just like, so entitled to this. And they all tell me when they come over, they're like, we knew blank, like the owner's name.
Guess what? I don't give a rat.
I know. And I'm like, respectfully, that has nothing to do with us. We are the new owners. And our friend was like, you should literally be like, who's that? Next time they say that. Because it's like, what does that have to do with us?
Yeah.
Like, that's nice, but we don't care because we're the new owners and we don't have a connection to them.
Yeah. And just because you do them, the previous owners, doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm going to be nice and like, you can cross my boundaries.
Well, and now that we're going to have the same exact dynamic as a 65-year-old couple who you're, because they're like, our kids grew up together. I'm like, that's great. That's beautiful. It's a new chapter.
I
this
feel like
is
it's
done.
Like you said, it's like they can tell you guys are like a young, new couple. You're pregnant. Like, you seem nice. And they like think that they can take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, if I moved in there, I don't think that would not have gotten this far.
Yeah. And she did apologize, which was good. And okay, I feel like, good. I actually do feel like the message was received. Like, I feel...
But she apologized, like, via text, like, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but when you saw I was uncomfortable in person, you still asked me if you could do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they're asking...
Why do you push people's boundaries so hard until then when they snap, and now you took advantage of my kindness, and now I have no desire to be nice to you, mm-hmm. and now things are going to be weird and awkward moving in, and now you apologize? It's like, don't push me to that limit. I don't want to be, like, the rude new neighbor on the block who's, like, young and came and bulldozed your best friend's house.
Exactly.
Don't make me be that person. But guess what? I will be that person.
Exactly. I'm like, you've pushed me to a point. Like, I am very nice and chill, and I'm not going to make a scene at all. Like, neither Leif and I are those types of people, but you have literally pushed us to where it's like, we have no choice but to say something because— I don't know. And we keep thinking, we're like, oh, once this happens, they'll stop. Like, once this happens. Right. And it's just like, it's been a long time at this point. Of things happening and happening, you're done.
Yeah,
like,
you're done.
And so, anyway, I am really hoping and I'm feeling like that is the last time I'm going to have an update because I—
If it's not, FBI.
Yeah, no, I know. Because I was saying, like, I feel like I'm almost not, like, inviting toxic energy into my life, but it's like, I feel like by just making such a— scene and being like, oh my gosh, every time it's just like piling on. And I'm like, we had the conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like the message was received. Yeah. I feel like it's done at this
point. No, I get that. You can't like beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
It's like you figured it out, you settled it.
And even when whenever I post about these updates, people are like, this was going to be my disclaimer. It's like,
I don't want to keep talking about it.
I was like, I actually don't even know. I didn't even know if I was going to share this story because I'm like, people are just going to be like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, literally,
no, I don't think
you
that.
Are so stupid. Like, tell them to stop. You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like we have in many different ways, but it's like, we were forced to be very firm and be like, this is not appropriate. This is, stops right now. And I do feel like it was hopefully...
if it's not received, I'll be making sure she receives it with a bill of sale of her house and a right fist to the freaking chin. Bye.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? I'm like, wow, I actually could not have imagined this continuing to go in this direction. And what I will say is it's not just all old people that live in that neighborhood.
Right.
It's just that they were all
That's
like—
That's why I'm shocked.
Like, these are people from like all different streets and whatever that they just all knew each other because their kids like grew
up.
Yeah,
this isn't like a cul-de-sac.
No, but like we met some of our other neighbors and they're like a young couple that seemed like super cool.
Yeah.
And we had said, we're like, sorry for the noise of the renovation. They're like, oh, we don't care. Like, we renovated our house. They're just really cool and chill. And so it's like, we have some great neighbors.
With the owners of that specific home.
With the owners of that specific house, like, Leif's like, apparently them moving from that house is like the craziest thing to happen to that neighborhood and 50 years. Like, that's how it's being treated, is like, we knew them, like, and I'm like, cool. Like,
it's like Tessa selling her house, then me, like, literally just pestering the new owners and be like, oh, like, do you mind? Like, I really like this tree. Like, can I come, like, get it? And then me, like, blasting their address.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
I love Tessa. I love her house. I have just as many memories in there as she does, probably. Like,
but it's not, you don't feel entitled to it.
See you later.
I know. And I'm telling you, it's that, like, just boomer. I don't know what else to call it other than just the mindset of like, we can't let this go to waste.
I'm like, get a grip. You probably bought that house 40 years ago for $150,000 and you just sold it for God knows what.
Yeah.
And see you later.
That's
your entitlement. You just walked away with a fat check.
I know.
See ya.
Spring is obviously the perfect time to reset, maybe upgrade some aspect of your life. And if you are looking to get some new kitchenware, cookware, bakeware, Caraway is the perfect place to do that. If you guys watch my vlogs and you ever see footage of me cooking with a pan, whatever, if I'm making eggs or something, I am using my Caraway pots and pans. They are so beautiful. They are just very pretty to look at. I have the cream set. They have a lot of really, really great colors. I also have their whole bakeware set. So like muffin tins and cookie sheets and stuff like that. And it's so nice that it all just matches and is cohesive and is great quality and is also non-toxic, most importantly. Caraway's internet famous kitchenware is a staple for any home and comes in various modern shades to fit with any design aesthetic. Ditch the chemicals with Caraway. Caraway Home's non-toxic kitchenware features a chemical-free ceramic coating so food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemicals are going to be leaching into your healthy ingredients. They also have an amazing little organizational system that comes with the pots and pans. So I don't know if you have like drawers that you put your pots in or under your cabinet and the the lids to all of them are just like kind of everywhere. It's hard to organize. Well, Caraway has like a little organization system. So I have this little thing that holds and organizes all the lids to my pots and just like hangs on the side. It's kind of hard to explain, but so that my cabinets and my drawers that everything is in look so much more cohesive and it's just way more organized. So just as a reminder, their iconic cookware set comes with the saute pan, fry pan, Dutch oven, and saucepan, plus lids for all of them, a canvas lid holder, and magnetic pan rack for storage. It is the ultimate kitchen setup and will save you $150 versus buying the items individually. Plus, if you visit carawayhome.com/whatwesaid, you can take an additional 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/whatwesaid or use code WHATWESAID at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. I have been selfishly online shopping, thinking about what I want for maybe a push present, aka, you know, something that I get for pushing this baby out. Now, that's a tradition I can get on board with, but something I've been kind of looking online for, like a really nice leather tote bag, a mom bag, if you will, like some sort of bigger bag that will fit a lot of stuff, but that's like chic and leather. And let me tell you, Quince has one that I've actually been eyeing. It is way more affordable than a lot of the brands that I've been seeing, and it looks very similar. And I know that Quince's quality is amazing. I actually think I'm going to be purchasing, maybe not the push present, but I might just give myself a little present and purchase this bag that I'm going to share with you guys using our code literally today because it's back in stock. It is called the Italian Leather Handwoven Tote from Quince. They also have a smaller version of it, but it's really beautiful. It looks very high end, but it's a way more affordable price. They have it in like black, this dark brown, really pretty leather, an olive color, taupe, and they're all honestly all really, really cute. I don't even know which color I want. But Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. So they have like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. I have a little black silk mini skirt from Quince that is such great quality and I've worn it many times. They also have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, which is really amazing. So, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/whatwesaid for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That is quince.com/whatwesaid to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/whatwesaid. And not that this matters at all, like, you don't cross boundaries regardless, but Leif's like, I'm sure they think that we just have like family money or like our parents bought the house for us and whatever, and we don't know what we're doing, and which is not true, but you know what I mean? Like just think that we're like these young kids who are maybe entitled or spoiled. Yeah. And it's like, again,
you're talking about entitled and spoiled. Look in the mirror, grandma.
I know. Anyway, that was my tea for you that I was like, I have to save this for the podcast.
Well, now that we talked about it, I want some of those plants.
Yeah, we're going after this. Maybe you can dig up what's left.
I'll dig up a cactus.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Gorgeous. Well, thank you for the tea, gosh.
Yeah, so that's
sorry to ever all the Valley Girls' eardrums, but I get very heated when people come after my girls.
I know. It's actually out of this world. So we'll see if there's anything else. I really don't think there will be, but
if there is,
they'll
be meeting me very quickly.
I was going to say, if there is, I actually don't think I will be talking about on the podcast because it will be
moved to legal.
It will literally be something like more serious probably at that point.
Gosh.
Because it's just out of control. But anyway, let's talk about you. I wanted to...
Great, my favorite topic.
when this comes out, Coachella will have happened, but it's right before right now. So this is my favorite game to play. It's like, what is your expectation and what are the vibes? And then we can compare
it to what's
happening.
You guys are getting BC Thai French before Coachella Thai French. Mm-hmm. And then when this airs, it will be AD after the death of Thai French. Because I'm going to be feral. I'm camping at Coachella. If you guys don't listen to Tyrants, you guys are losers. But also, you wouldn't have known that I camp at Coachella because I'm just, like, so different than everyone else. And, you know, I'm different than other influencers.
You're very, like, organic.
Yeah. I'm just, like, super real. And I just, like to, you know, be, like, normal people, you know? Mm-hmm. No, it's really because I'm broke. And I don't want to spend the 45-minute shuttle ride to Palm Springs because I'll be partying all day. And I did that 2 years ago and I was passed away in the shuttle line. But, yeah, I'm excited. You know, busy week, getting all my fits ready. Mm-hmm. The weather, we got to talk about weather. When I checked 2 days ago, It said it was going to be 100 degrees.
My on gosh. Saturday.
Sunny, Palm Springs, California. Very, very hot. Now, this is an issue because I was planning on wearing, well, okay, this is going to come out after, so I can say this. I was going to wear a wig on Saturday.
I saw your thing where you wore all black with the gloves and you're like, never again.
Never again. I'm one-upping and I'm wearing a wig.
What kind of wig?
Basically, I wanted to go bleach my hair like I did last year. But then I was like, my hair's looking so gorgeous lately. Mm-hmm. And it's so mm-hmm. curly and long. And I was like, I'm going to need hair plugs soon. Let's be honest. I'm a white guy going into my 30s. Like, the forehead line is receding.
I'm going to stop you there. We got to stop with the going into the 30s. Because I've been hearing you talk about that a lot on the podcast. You're like, I'm 30. I'm 30. I'm like, whoa, let's like slow the roll.
I know. I'm only 27. But I'm like, it's a self-help situation trying to like ease myself in, you know, so that when it comes, it's not like I'm in denial.
Okay.
And the forehead is.
Nothing wrong with aging, by the way. I'm almost
30.
Unless
you're a white man, almost 30, and your hairline is thinning and is going back again. And so I know I'm going to have to go to Turkey in probably about 6 to 8 months. And this is probably going to be the last time in my life where I can really, you know, go for it and have long hair. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to bleach it. I'm going to just keep growing it until I go to Turkey, and then I'm going to have to shave it and get the plugs.
But have me dead.
One of my outfits needed platinum hair because it's like, you know, modern and vibey. And so I just got like a blonde wig that is kind of like the length of my hair. Well, I cut it to be the length of my hair. Thank you, Sally's Beauty. So it will
you got the wig from Sally's as well?
No. I just like literally got shears and a wig cap and literally and like basically gave it my haircut. It's a little longer. Okay.
Is it straight or curly?
It's straight, but I'll like wear it slicked back.
Okay.
So that was why when it said 100 degrees, I said, never mind. I'm going to have to scratch that look. I'm going to have to make it work something else. Then I checked yesterday. 72 degrees and raining.
Interesting.
Which also is a problem for a wig.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm kind of playing it by ear. You know, I'm bringing the wig. I'm also going to bring some other stuff. I'm going to have to see when I get there. I don't know. The weather, get your shit together. Meteorologists, you guys suck.
The weather has been all over the place just in general. I never know what I'm getting.
Never know what I'm getting.
I never know what I'm getting when I wake up in the morning.
We woke up, eclipse.
Yeah.
Rainstorm. New York had an earthquake the other day.
Thing after thing.
Sign of the times. Yeah, that song came out 7 years ago. Harry Styles. Love
what
you.
A great song. Remember when we went to the Harry Styles concert together?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Gorgeous night.
He's so sexy.
Oh, he's everything. That's when I realized that you can feel the spirit at a concert as well.
Yeah, that is when I reaffirmed my homosexuality. I renewed my subscription.
Have you heard of that? Like, it's a phenomenon. I actually don't know if this is the right term, and if it's not, sorry, but I think it's called like collective effervescence. Have you heard of that?
I think I've heard you talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. It's basically like the feeling of connection when you're with a group of people, if you're at like a concert or something like that, when someone's singing and you feel like emotional a little bit, like you're like almost brought to tears by like how beautiful it is. And when you grow up religious, you kind of associate that with like, oh, I'm feeling the spirit, or like, I'm feeling God.
So there's so many songs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how they get you.
How great thou art. I don't remember the tune. Don't sue me.
But then you realize you can also feel that at Harry Styles, and you're like, okay.
Or at Coachella in the Sahara tent, listening to EDM.
Exactly. So, it's honestly
you've been to Coachella.
Thing. Yeah, only once,
did you feel that at Coachella?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's like the most I've ever felt that. It's like everyone coming together, dressing up to the nines, like planning it so much, and just like running in the fields, music at every stage. There's every single kind of music. The sun is setting, the weather's perfect, there's great food, you're with your friends. It's so fun. So I hope I feel that this weekend. But I might die also.
I have only been once, and it was just me and Chelsea. Like, we met up with
Kristen. Did we ever bump into each other or no?
I don't think so.
I don't think we did.
Because it's so hard when you have no service. Like, you were with a different group of people, and it was so fun, but like, I don't even want to say but, because it really was just like so fun, just Chelsea and I. I feel like if you went with a group too, though, it could be even more fun, like just with more people and.
No, it is all about your crew. That's why this year I feel like people are like, oh, the lineup kind of sucks. I'm like, I don't go for the lineup. Mm-hmm. I go for the vibes.
Yeah, the vibes. The vibes. And it really is so fun to just dress up and I don't know. That kind of leads us into talking about the social media of it all. I feel like, because a lot of people will be like, Coachella has just turned into like influencer Olympics, da 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 da. But also, I feel like that's almost a, what's the word? Not like selfish, but it's like, that's only if you're chronically online.
Is a projection that people that have never been to Coachella project onto Coachella for some reason. I don't know what it is, But
it's not like that when you're there.
It is not like that at all. No. I need you guys to comprehend, if you've never been to Coachella, how large it is. I think literally, I might be getting the number wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like 300,000 people go to this festival. And like the grounds are big, but like not that big. Like the largest stadium ever played by a female last year, I'm pretty sure, was Beyonce, and it was 80,000 people. And it was a giant stadium.
Yeah.
So
there's so many people.
300,000 people, like in basically it's like a horse equestrian field and like a golf course. And you think all 300,000 of those are influencers and taking photos? No, that is
not
the case.
Even if a ton of people.
There is a small portion of that. And everyone goes and you take pics. It's so scenic. But I am an influencer. I've been an influencer forever. That is the one weekend I feel like I'm not an influencer.
Like, just like living life.
So many people like go to Coachella just to go to Coachella. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people also get confused by like, now there are so many influencer events. And a lot of the influencers that you think go to Coachella just to be an influencer don't actually even go to Coachella. They go to Coachella events or other festivals,
yeah,
like Revolve Festival, and there's like a Celsius Festival. There's Neon Carnival. There's all these other like parties that influencers will go to Palm Springs for the weekend, mm-hmm, and go to all the Coachella events, but they're not actually even going to the festival. Or if they go like just for the headliner, like late at night. So when you're there during the day, like it is very chill, mm-hmm, honestly. And the stages are pretty spread out. So even if you see influencers, it's like, there's 300,000 people there. You're not running into them. They're not like taking up the whole space and, you know, taking where it's like so, like where you, everyone wants to take the photos. It's not like it's just like influencer central. You really don't feel that vibe
well,
at all.
I feel like a lot of people are taking photos, but they're not even necessarily influencers.
No,
it's
that's
just
what
everyone.
I'm saying. Yeah.
It's just everyone. Like, yeah,
but if you're
you
trying
document
to get a photo, you're not like, oh, all the influencers are in the way. Like, you just don't think that. You
yeah
don't
it's
see
a
influencers
vibe
when you're there. And if you do, you're looking for a bad time. Like, mm-hmm, you are searching that out and you've got something that you need to work through against influencers. But
I've been
know
seeing a lot of discourse about, I don't even know if I want to get into all
about
this,
the influencers.
Just about like how people hate influencers these days, like more and more.
Grow up.
And
grow up. Hot take. Like you and I say this with a lot of love and I'm dead ass serious. What is the issue? Like, are you, I'm not saying you're jealous. Are you jealous? I'm genuinely asking. Are you bitter? Are you lonely? Are you, like, what is the issue? Why does someone who beat the system and works hard, some influencers as a blanket term, like, all influencers are not the same. There's
no
mommy bloggers, there's TikTokers, there's Instagrammers, there's photographers, there's, like, so YouTubers, whatever. There's so many different forms. So saying, like, influencers, it's like, okay, why are you comparing me to a Mormon mommy blogger? Or why are you comparing me to a 16-year-old TikToker or to a beauty influencer or whatever? Like, we are so different. There's so many different levels to it. But every influencer I've ever met is so hardworking. Like, and I'm not saying it's hard work, but like they put a lot of time into it. They work a basically probably equals up to a 9-to-5. Like they put hours into their job. And so I'm not like looking at, I'm not even going to say a specific job because then I'm going to get canceled. But like, I'm not looking at other people killing it at their job, putting a lot of time in and like getting rewards for that, which I might think your job makes way more money than I think it should. Like,
mm-hmm,
for what you give out, mm-hmm, and the amount of effort that you put in. I'm not judging you. I'm like, get your bag, sis. Work capitalism.
I know.
So why are you so pressed that someone sent me like a PR package that's probably like a $20 sweatshirt and that I got to go on like a trip to Bora Bora? Why are you so upset? Why does that bother you? Why does that affect you?
There are a lot of reasons why I feel like people dislike influencers and why the hate for it grows. And I asked for some people's hot takes about social media on Instagram. And a lot of people were kind of saying like, I just hate influencers now. And like, they've become so out of touch and blah, blah, blah. And
but like, why is out of touch?
I know.
I hate that because it's like that out of touch means like you're out of touch of reality. This is someone's reality.
100%. But some people were saying like, this is my two cents on at least the money part of it all, because a lot of people are like, influencers should not be making like more money than like doctors and lawyers and things like that. Here's
most
what
of
I
them
will
do
say.
Not.
A lot of them do.
Very small percentage. There are way more doctors in the world than there are influencers that are making more than doctors.
I don't know what the average salary of like a doctor is, honestly.
Like a lot.
I guess we'd have to look up like specifics for different states. But here's my take is like, influencers do not get paid because they're such hard workers and they're the most amazing people and they deserve more money than these people who are on the front line, who are doing all this really important work. They don't get paid because of that. They get paid as a return of investment from a brand, point blank, period. That also, is why they're getting paid the money they're getting paid, just as like context, because it's like, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that.
But, that's what I'm, but no influencer is saying they do. No one's saying like that they are better than any other career or that they do deserve more than a doctor or whatever. So it's like, why are you projecting that onto me? If a brand is willing to pay this for me, and I'm like, sometimes even I'm shocked. Sometimes I'm like, wow, like you're paying me this rate to do this thing. Like, wow, that is amazing. Why are you mad at me for getting my bag? Like, why do you want, why are you like almost wanting everyone to be in the system where it's like literally you work a 9-to-5, you work your entire life, you have shit health insurance, you have shit like pay time off and all these things, and you're getting a shit salary. Like, why do you want everyone to be stuck in that? Like, if we have built an industry that like got us out of that, like, that's great.
Yeah. No, I mean,
because it shows other industries that like, yeah, you are underpaying your people. Like, brands do have a budget. If a company, if you're working for a company and say you're on like the retail side and you see them pay an influencer to post a TikTok and it's like $20,000 and that's like half your salary, that should light a fire in your ass to be like, we need to storm together and make the companies pay their employees more.
Right.
Because now we know they have the money. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, you're mad at the wrong person. You shouldn't be mad at me getting my bag. You should be mad at the system in which is rewarding this behavior.
Right. I think that just in general, which is a very, this is like a very delicate thing on social media, but I think that like an influencer complaining or defending themselves in any way, being like, no, like I do work hard, it's always going to, I've literally never seen it go well.
No,
I've never seen someone say that. And people are like, actually, yeah. Like everyone's just like, you're stupid. And it just falls on deaf ears because it is a major privilege to make great money and like have your own
schedule.
Okay,
but that's where I want to stop you. Let me preface this. JC, buying a house, great. Like, love it. Amazing. Making lots of money. Great. You're like a great influencer. You've like built this career, whatever. I'm not, follow me. Me and her have been in this the same amount of time. I do not make great money. Like, I have made great amounts of money in my career at different times, but like and maybe I'll get a little vulnerable here. Like, maybe I don't want to share all this, but like the last 2 years, like I've made shit money. Like, I've not made a lot of money. Like, I've needed to borrow money from my parents. Like, what you guys see on social media and you see, like, if you follow me at Ty French. Like, if you see me like traveling and going to Aspen and wearing fur coats or whatever, those clothes are loaned from a brand. I did not get to keep any of those. I wear this exact same outfit every day. I sometimes have to have my parents help me pay rent. Like, I am working my ass off to try and get my podcast up so that I can get advertisers. Like, I shoot almost every single day trying to get, you know, brand partnerships or whatever. And those brand partnerships are a good amount if I got a brand partner every day. But it's like some months I get one brand partner, some months I get four.
Mm-hmm.
And so it pretty much does even out too. I have a lot of friends of mine that work very like regular, normal jobs in like marketing or like for other companies. Like, some of my friends work in like healthcare sales or whatever. They're making more than money. They are making more money than me.
Mm.
Sure, my life looks more glamorous. I'm traveling and sometimes I'm on a private jet to Aspen or I'm doing this or whatever. And I'm head to toe designer clothes. You cannot project and say that like I'm out of touch because of what you see on someone's Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that's what frustrates me. Like, the blanket, like, influencers aren't allowed to complain. It's like, okay, because I get to travel the world and like I, you know, sometimes get clothes sent to me or PR companies or whatever, like, doesn't mean that like I'm also not struggling financially and I'm also trying to, you know, get in the hustle and the grind. And I also have to pay $800 for health insurance and all these things. So I just hate when someone like diminishes the work that like I do as an influencer, mm-hmm, because of the privileges that come with it. It's like, I'm not allowed to complain and I work a 9-to-5, so it's different. It's like, okay, but I'm not in the boat of like an influencer that has a brand that's carried at Revolve and is living in a $5 million house.
Right.
So influencers are allowed to complain and anyone's allowed to complain about their jobs. I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does. I think, and what you just shared is like, I think the hard part of that is sometimes when you like are vulnerable or you'll share something like that where it's like, you guys, like, my life is not perfect. I struggle with A, B, and C. Then people will have more empathy for you. Like, even with my infertility stuff, it's like when I'm like, you guys, like my life, I'm doing all these treatments and I like don't feel well.
Why do you have to
no,
share that?
No, exactly. But it's like, but you also are not, you shouldn't have to share really deep, vulnerable parts of your life for people to like treat you like a human and be like, oh, you probably go through hard things too. Like I'm glad you did share that. I'm just saying, it's like, that does kind of bother me that it's like, we have to be like showing ourselves being very raw and like sad or opening up and saying, you guys, like I've had a really hard this and this, or like I went through this in my childhood, for people to be like, oh, okay, like you deserve to be an influencer then. It's like, it just, yeah, there's a lot. And I think as human beings, you just, it's not fun to be invalidated in anything you do. So whether or not someone sees being an influencer or a podcaster as valuable, because it just seems like another element to it, I think, is that people think it's just vain because it's like, oh, you take selfies all day. And like, again, from what they see, oh, you went to Aspen on a private jet and you're head-to-toe designer and you're in Mexico with all your best friends and you're, right. And then you're like, oh, I've had a hard day. And they're like, well, I've been working as a nurse. And yeah. Again, it's not fair, but I think that that's where it comes from, is just like things you see that look so glamorous. It's like, it's even us with celebrities. Like if a celebrity complains a lot, it's like, oh, I'm sure you have such a hard life in your $1 million mansion, whatever.
Yeah.
So
that's just what I hate about disclaimers, though, because I understand, but I feel like we have gotten so sensitive, like as a collective general society, that like people feel so scared, especially like in the social media space. I don't even think it's just influencers. I think people just in general are scared to like post a meme or, you know, tweet something or whatever about anything because they're scared they're going to like get canceled or people are going to take it the wrong way. But it's like, you be the person that you want to like see out in the world, because you shouldn't have to give a disclaimer about anything. If someone reads something out of context or doesn't know the whole picture and they decide to interpret that wrong, that is on them. It is not my job to give you a full backstory of everything that I'm going through before I complain about something.
Yeah.
If I complain about something, who are you to come back and be like, oh, well, you just went to Puerto Vallarta with all your best friends and you're in this, like, why are you complaining? It's like, oh, well, you don't know. Maybe this. Maybe someone I know just passed away. Maybe this. But, like, why do I have to give a disclaimer? Why do I have to say, guys, I'm really going through a lot right now and whatever. Like, that is just not, I feel like, a part of the human experience.
I was going to say, that should just be understood. That's something that we talk a lot about on the podcast, is, like, it should be understood you're not getting every ounce of someone's life.
Exactly. When
what you're seeing is not 100% everything they went through that day. Non-influencers,
like, I feel like non-influencers, social media used to be so different like 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I feel like all my friends, or even like people I'll like try and go on dates with or whatever, I'll see in dating apps, I'll like go over their profile. And it's like the last time they posted was 2022.
On their Instagram?
Yeah. Or like they post every 6 months. So I'm like, you're not posting everything in your life. You're expecting me to?
Right.
What? Like, why can't we just post a highlight reel? And also, like, influencers are only a thing and we only got to this point because people care, because people are interested, and because people want to see it. Like, people want to consume content for entertainment, whether it's photos, whether it's TikTok, whether it's YouTube videos or whatever. And so the entitlement to be entertained by something and then also be angry that that person is being rewarded for the time that they're putting in to entertain you is crazy to me.
I mean, I completely agree. I feel like there's so much I wanted to talk to you about, too, because I was just organizing my photos yesterday. There were so many of us.
I'm scared.
That were, like, printed out, just, like, from disposables, from, like, concerts or photo shoots, like, our trip to D.C., me when I came to visit you in Virginia, like, photo shoots from Arizona, just all this different stuff. And I really was just, like, thinking about it in preparation for this episode, too. And I wanted to talk to you just about, like, creativity and creating, and because this is, if you guys haven't followed along for like literally 10 years, literally, then I'm not going to get into our love story.
Yeah,
but
you've probably heard it before if you're an OG Valley girl.
Yeah, but like Tyson and I met through photography. And we met because of a mutual love of photos and creating and having fun and driving out to the desert and shooting, you know, just crazy fun concepts.
Literally
of photo
like
shoots.
5 a.m. Saturday, every high school weekend, we'd be like making flower crowns and going out in the desert. Like,
yep. Literally in a river.
Literally.
I was just pondering on that and kind of just thinking about how like it used to feel so much more simple. And I was just like, you know, we would create with not a lot of, like, sure, we were maybe going to post it on Instagram, but I feel like I was less jaded in general by life. I feel like I was just excited to create. I just thought it was fun. It was innocent. And I was just thinking about how, like, now it's so much more complicated.
I think, like, we, for so long, I feel like, especially in the creative space, there was so much lack of transparency, especially with, like, a consumer. Like, what I like to compare it to is, like, an artist, like a painter. Someone can paint a painting. I don't care if it took them 2 hours, 10 years, whatever. Who painted it, what it's worth. The painter decides what they want to sell it for. They decide what it's worth. You don't walk into an art gallery and go to the painter and be like, you're so entitled. I can't believe you would charge that much for a painting. Like, who are you? Whatever. It's like, well, this is my art. And, like, that's what I think it's worth. And that's what I'm going to sell for. And people buy it. And that's what it is. That's all we're doing as influencers or as creators or anyone in any business. It's like, I am setting a boundary for myself. What do I want to do for a job? What do I want to work? And that amount of work, what do I feel like is worth it for me to do that and to sustain that and to sustain a lifestyle that I want to live? And if I can find a clientele that is going to pay for that, why would anyone judge me for that? Why would anyone, like, look down on me for that? I would hope that everyone feels like they are being compensated for their time. And I understand that that is a privilege and that that's a blessing. And that that is, I feel like, where that's, I hate using the word jealous, but, like, that's where I feel like a lot of that animosity towards influencers complaining comes from, because people don't have that. And people are very unfairly compensated in workspaces. And I feel like 99.99999%, of course. And I understand that. But to just tear down someone who's, like, just trying to do their best as well makes no sense to me. Go out, like, we've got to collectively go after the bigger fish. Like, I don't know.
No, I agree completely. But I think the...
Because now I feel like... sorry, let me finish that thought. That's okay. Where I was going with that. Back in the day, there's no transparency. And that's why I feel like you wouldn't go after, like, artists or photographers or anything. Like, a creative person would be like, I'm going to build this statue, 20 grand. Okay, great. Now, there's been this thing with social media where we are so much more involved in people's lives. And being
you're saying
a create,
that people are more...
We're way more transparent. So now I feel like people can break down, like, almost what the value per, like, time that they think that they're perceiving that this person is working for. Does that make sense?
Well, you're just saying people are more transparent about, like, how much influencers make. So it's like, is that what you're
saying? How
much
they make. And also they're seeing every second of the day, so they think, of someone's life. And so they're like, oh, well, that's what they're doing all day and they're making this much money. That doesn't seem worth it to me.
Right,
you're not
right,
seeing
right.
the painter paint the painting. You don't know how long it took. You're not seeing the sculptor do this. You're not seeing
the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Now you see so much behind the scenes, so you're able to, like, calculate, like, how much they're making per hour or this. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think if you don't have personal experience with, like, I would never try and come into someone else's space and be like, it's not worth that much for you, because, like, I have no experience with that.
Right.
And I am not by any means trying to say, again, I shouldn't give the disclaimer, but it's like, I'm not trying to say podcasting and social media, it's so hard.
Right.
But I will say, like, honestly, a lot of people that I know that have started podcasts, they have quit because
it's hours and hours of time.
It is very time consuming. And if you're not making money, like, it doesn't make sense to continue to put that much time into something. So, like, I do think there's something to be said for, like, if you are very consistent on social media, like, you are putting a lot of time. I've seen people be like influencers say, you know, oh, we hired a nanny. And people are like, why did you hire a nanny? Like, you're literally an influencer. And it's like
what if I had any other job?
Yeah.
You wouldn't question it.
Yeah. And I saw this other person, someone said, I can't remember what she said, but she was like, yeah, like, my fake job that makes, like, this fake money that, like, I bought my fake house with. Like, it's like, it's obviously, I just don't understand at this point. Oh, I remember what it was. Someone was saying that Hailey Bieber basically doesn't have a job. Like, she was like, I just got home from work.
Yeah.
And people were like, work?
Like, you think she just, like, creates and develops these products and does nothing?
It's like, okay, she is running, like, a massive skincare company. And again, it's like, so is it all just make-believe? Like, at what point are we going to acknowledge that it's a job?
But that, what you just said there, that's what I want people to accept and realize. The girl, I'm sure, was doing it to be, like, condescending. Oh, but just my fake job with my fake money for my fake house or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, it is fake. Like, we built as humans this system. Like, we are literally in a game of Monopoly. And that sounds like conspiracy theory, but it's like not. It's like we built buildings and homes or whatever on a piece of land and built a system of like, okay,
now
$1 is worth
this
much and this is worth this much and a loaf of bread is going to be worth this much. And this random plot of land we're going to block off and sell it for $200,000 here and $1 million here and this and this. We literally just made it up at some point. And like, that's how we are where
life
we're
works.
At now. So why are you now mad at other people for making up a career and being like, okay, like you wouldn't go into a plastic surgeon's office and be like, I don't think a boob job is worth 15 grand. Like, you're literally sticking two balls of saline in my titties and that's worth $30,000. That's a car. But
yeah.
then other people would be like, oh my gosh, I think that's worth 200 grand.
Right.
And the doc, but it's like the doctor went to school and it's like, what is it worth it for me to mm-hmm. do this? What do I think it's worth? 30 grand. And you just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of layers to all of it. I was thinking about the whole creativity thing though, because like I was saying, it used to feel so much more simple. And I was like, why doesn't it feel simple anymore?
Yeah, let's go away from the money, please.
Yeah, let's dive into
that. I'm poor, don't judge me. I feel like I'm gonna get canceled after this episode, but I just want you guys to know that I'm an influencer and I work really hard and that I want you to listen to my podcast so that I can make even more money because also I do live in a studio apartment that's very small and I do owe my dad some money. Anyways.
What?
No, need some advertisers.
Anyways, I'm just kidding. Guys, really though, I do want, I don't know. I feel like I can get so heated and it's easy for us to like talk about influencers, whatever. And I am just so, I don't want to give a disclaimer, but it is such a weird thing to talk about. And it is scary because I'm so scared of the internet.
Well.
But just, I think the main thing I want to say is like, we mean well and I don't even know. I don't even know how to round out. Don't cancel me!
I know. No.
My life's not harder than being a doctor. I know that.
My life's not harder than being a doctor.
Oh.
It's, everyone's entitled to just feel the way they feel. And I think it's, again, it's just like an easy target. But I was saying on a kind of a recent episode, even the whole, sorry, I don't want to keep harping on the influencer thing. I really want to get into something else.
Yeah, we're going to get into some fun stuff.
Like, I do think because being an influencer is predominantly, I would say actually it is probably female. Predominantly female run space. It is much less respected. And I really do believe that it is because it is primarily female. And like, if you say you're an influencer, think about it. It's like, oh, that's cringy, like to be an influencer. And we were talking about it on a recent episode. If you say like, I'm a podcaster, it even sounds a little bit more like credible. And I do believe that's because that field has been male dominated.
There's
for
literally
a
term for this. And I saw someone break this down on a TikTok and it made me really upset for women in spaces. There's like literally a term for it. I can't remember what it is, obviously, because I'm dumb. But like, words that are associated with women mm-hmm. that start out normally as something like bitch, a female dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it because I don't know what the Valley Girls get X-rated, but like the P word.
Mm-hmm. It's all like negatively associated.
The C word, mm-hmm. you know, all these things. It's like those all are just terms that like used to not mean anything. And then they now turn into like some of the most degrading things that you can call mm-hmm. someone. And then an influencer started out as all female, pretty much. It's still a female-owned space. And, like, now it's deemed as derogatory because all these women are become powerful and have a lot of money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
I know.
But I will say, they talk about this on The Toast before as well. The difference, and I'm going to speak very general terms. Men and women. Women tear women down more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Men do a lot of shocking things to women, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, like, men aren't in the comments or on Reddit pages talking about women mm-hmm. and in a general sense.
Yeah.
And men aren't really doing that about other men either. Like, if I don't like a guy doing other things or, like, their Instagram page or I don't like their podcast, whatever, I'm not talking crap about them. But, like, there is this competition between women. And I feel like that that's what's different between you as an influencer and me as an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even just between, like, our podcasts and, like, some of, like, the feedback, like, if people don't like my podcast, I feel like they just go away. But I don't know. I feel like some of the things that I've heard, like you tell me that people have like sent you messages about or whatever, it's like, what made you feel inclined to say that? That is not an appropriate thing to say.
Well, and it's always like people would never pit you and I against each other,
right.
but they would pit like me against my other girlfriends
right.
or like compare me to my other influencer girlfriends. Like I will get messages where it's
yeah.
like, she does this more than this person. And it's like, why are you comparing us? Like, whoa. You would never yeah. compare, even you and Jose, like maybe some people would make a comment, but they wouldn't be like, Tyson is more this than Jose. Like, because men just normally don't. And if someone did that, it would probably be a woman doing that.
Yeah. And you don't see like viral TikToks going off of like people breaking down, like men TikTokers who are like going viral and like, you know, trying to get to the bottom of things. But like people just try and pick apart successful women mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. like influencers and in other spaces. Like, but I really challenge people to, if you catch yourself like judging a successful woman, like truly sitting with that and trying to get to the bottom of like what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do anything to you? Like, what is it about what this woman is doing that is upsetting you so much?
Yeah, there's—
because I guarantee you it's nothing that the woman is doing.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers to that. But I think that what you're describing and the perception thing of like, basically I came to the conclusion when I was pondering about, you know, why did it used to feel so simple? Why did it used to feel so fun? Just like going out and photo shoots and creative and blah, blah, blah. A lot of that is that the older you get, the more responsibilities you have
right.
and you become an adult and it's like, okay, well now I'm worried about money and this and right. that. And it's like, now I simply don't have as much free space in my mind to be like,
yeah,
let me just go out and do this photo shoot. I just feel like there's so much more noise. And especially if you are someone who has a platform, like it becomes less, I don't want to say fun, but it's just like, you know, it when we were shooting photos back in the day, it's not that like, oh, we never received like bad feedback, but it's like—
there was no feedback to be given.
Yes, there was just like, it just wasn't that deep. And yeah. I feel like now it's so much easier to overthink like every aspect of everything because you know that there's going to be a perception of it and then there's going to be a
conversation.
Yeah, positive or negative, and there's going to be a conversation about it. And yeah. so it makes it harder to just like create more freely.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Amber talk about this, our queen.
Our queen, all hell Amber. We love
take
you.
A shot every time we mention Amber on this podcast. But she was talking about how people will like, well, okay, this is twofold. I've been reading this book called The Creative Act, and it's all about creativity. And he talks about how some of the greatest artists in the world, they are able to preserve their childlike qualities. And that's what makes them great artists, is that they're able to be curious, be spontaneous, be all these things that we kind of lose when we get into adulthood a lot of times because there's so much noise and
right,
because we're so
right.
stressed and because there's so much going on that we don't have free time and space to think about things. And we also have preconceived notions about things. We are analytical because we, you know, we've learned from past experiences. Okay, I don't want to do that again. Like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just like things are more complicated. And Amber was talking about how a lot of things she shares, like, oh, I'm going to get into painting and like, I'm going to do this and that. And people will, or like, I'm going to wear this like floofy dress. And
right.
people are like, you're so childish. And like, why do you act like a kid? And she's like,
thank you.
Yeah. And she's like, that is the greatest compliment because
right.
aren't we all trying to be carefree and
right.
like kind of be in like a childlike state? There's also a difference between being childish and childlike.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's so important to have time to think. I was also listening to this podcast. It was actually a Skinny Confidential one. She was talking about how Bill Gates, like, I think it's Bill Gates, he does a Think Week every year where he just like basically goes to a cabin and like turns off his phone and literally thinks for a week.
I need to do that.
I know. And she was saying how her and Michael have implemented something like that into their lives where they do kind
unfortunately,
of like,
there's on yacht.
Yeah. Yeah. Yacht in St. Mark's, but we will be in our home,
yeah,
in our
yeah.
living room.
I'll be in the garage of yeah. her home.
But I was thinking about that because basically the point of it is that as a creative person, and we're all creative, so that basically just means as a person, you need space
right.
to think. And if you don't have it, it will be very hard to execute on creative ideas and to be carefree and to have any of those childlike qualities because you are too bombarded.
Totally.
And that was something I was thinking about because I'm like, how can we get back to kind of this like creative flowing state where it's just like, it's not that deep and we're literally just having fun.
Totally.
And sometimes that feels impossible, but I think maybe one step in the right direction is like, you know, you don't have to go off to a cabin for a week, but even just having like a day, like
yeah.
I deleted Instagram this weekend just because I was like, I'm feeling like overstimulated
yeah.
and it feels good. It's just like having a little bit of space to breathe.
Yeah. I've done that multiple times in my life, like where I feel like just overwhelmed and I really want to get back to like my roots as creativity and like not even... I feel like we maybe should have said this at the beginning of the episode, but I feel like we keep talking in terms of like creators or influencers or whatever, but that is only the way that we're navigating this conversation because like that's the angle that we're looking at it. But like
yeah.
all of the things that we're talking about, I feel like are, if you take the words influencer or creator out of it and replace it with other things, like it's a broader conversation that needs to be had. And it sucks coming maybe from an influencer because that's where I feel like people all of a sudden then they turn it off and they disconnect. But it's like, we really just want you to like be the best version of yourself and like get what you're worth and like be the most creative version of yourself. Not as an influencer. If you want to be an influencer, great. But just like, mm-hmm. I feel like the term
as
creative and creator like nowadays leans more like, oh, like you want to be a photographer. You want to be like an influencer or whatever. Uh-huh. It's like, no, like you said, like every person is a creative and you are creative in your own regard, whether it's like journaling or anything. And like, just like getting, honing into that and like getting out the outside noise of the world and understanding when to like receive that criticism and like learn and grow from it, but then also not let it get to you and hinder yourself. Like you said, like we used to be so much more free and whatever because we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's like a balance of learning, you know, you don't want to be untouchable to the outside world and not up for...
not take anything into
critique
consideration.
Or criticism or other people, whatever. But I don't know, it's just a balance.
Of course. And it's like, I think with something like having your life on the internet or creating photos or whatever it is, it's like, I think that the worst thing that you can do is to let your worth start to be in other people's hands. Like you have to find it within yourself to, which I think is something that's transparently like hard for both of us because we know no different than like putting our life or our art out there. And like, I don't mean to make that deeper than it is, but it's like we, specifically you and I have done the photographer route and the self-employed and the like having our own business since we were like 16
literally,
years old.
Yeah.
And so we actually don't know any different than to almost like put our worth into someone else's hands. Like,
totally.
Like, okay, what do you think I'm worth? Like, do you think this picture is cool? Are you going to pay me for what this is worth?
Totally.
And there's pros and cons that come with every type of upbringing, but like specifically for us and being an influencer is like, it depends on your relevance. So it's like, oh, do people now think you've fallen off? And like, well, then you're not going to get paid. And it's like, oh, so I'm not worth enough. Like it is a lot to, I think it's like an interesting way to grow up.
Yeah. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, actually about like parasocial relationships. And I feel like I've, with the podcast and with it growing and stuff, I feel like I've kind of seen a new viewpoint on parasocial relationships because for the longest time, just doing Instagram and photography, I feel like it was all about just image. Like, I wasn't really showing my personality or I wasn't really connecting with an audience at all.
Mm-hmm.
And with social media now, everyone has parasocial relationships, whether you're a creator or not, with celebrities. But it's just so much, you're so much deeper into it because we have so much access to things. And TMZ will report something before the family even knows. Or, you know, we just have so much access and you are connected to so many different people that you do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've even had a lot of conversations about the parasocial relationship from the viewpoint of like a follower of ours or a listener of ours to us. But now with the podcast and getting close with a lot of my tyrants and in the DMs, I'm realizing I also have a parasocial relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sort of the same way that someone is dependent on you. You know, they're looking forward to the podcast every Wednesday or Tuesday, or they're looking forward to this, or like they expect certain things from you without even knowing that they're expecting it. We also get that way. We also expect that. And so when we don't receive that or if we receive it negatively or whatever, that is a really hard space to like be in and to navigate for your mental health and to understand what is the healthy boundary of that. Because I don't want to be, or you shouldn't want to be a person who expects something from someone because you're putting out a product, you're putting out a service, or you're putting out an episode or a whatever. And you're expecting people to receive that. I also need to be expecting.
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it's like it's a give and a take, but the same way that I want you to respect and understand a boundary of like where that stops, I also have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that I DM all the time about the podcast every week or whatever. And
like you rely on each other.
It's a hard push and pull. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't just expect to take from your followers. Oh, listen to my podcast, give me money, do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then. But I'm not going to give you any information. Like,
exactly.
But then it's like, but there is also a line where
exactly.
I do deserve privacy in certain ways. I do deserve this and that. I don't, like we had at the beginning, the conversation we had at the beginning, I don't have to tell you every single thing that's going on in my life for you to give me, to treat me like a human being as well.
Yeah.
It is like a give and take. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And I think I think that goes for every part, like when you told me that this is kind of what we were going to be talking about, my main takeaway, like the main thing that I wanted to evoke in this episode or that I wanted to like, the point that I wanted to get across, the only thing I could really think about was like, and it's so cheesy, hot take, cheese ball. Like, be the person, get the Pinterest quotes ready, ladies. Be the person that you want to be or that mm-hmm. you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are trying to be an influencer and you are putting out all this amazing content and you're curious, like, why no one's engaging, why no one cares. When was the last time you commented on someone's photo? Like, do you constantly, or do you follow people and are you a ghost follower? Or are you constantly going through your feed and hyping up your friends and hyping up people that you don't know but you follow? Are you hyping up the other creators? When you see they do an ad, are you hyping them up? Because then when you post an ad and you're curious why it's getting low engagement, do you engage with other people's ads?
Right.
And that, once again, I'm viewing it as the as an influencer. That's my perception of it. But that can be with so many things. Like, if
just
you
supporting people
feel like
and what they're doing.
Your friends aren't, you know, being there for you and helping you. And, you know, maybe you just moved apartments or something and you feel like no one showed up for you. When was the last time you showed up for that friend?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just constantly being aware of, like, the give and take in the creative space, in the workspace, in friendships and everything. And when that is not balanced, that is where the anger, animosity, jealousy,
disconnect
begins.
Uh-huh. No, I couldn't agree more. I feel like, yeah, you gotta be the change you want to see in the world.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Something that I learned a few years ago when getting some blood work done is that a lot of people, and most women, are deficient in vitamin D. So they are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet. In fact, 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet. So, Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in a clinical study. If you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while now, you will know that Ritual is one of our OG sponsors. We love them so much. Their multivitamins are clinically backed for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. I feel like adding a multivitamin into your morning routine or whenever you want to take it is a really simple way to kind of elevate your health and wellness and make you feel more put together and just potentially fill those gaps in your diet, because we all have them. I also love Ritual so much because it's gentle on an empty stomach and it has like a minty aftertaste. It's a little minty essence in every bottle that actually makes it enjoyable to take your multivitamins. I hate a chalky vitamin. I hate one that tastes like fish. You guys know the vibes, and it's just not it. So Ritual just makes it very simple. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows that the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. Ritual vitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. So no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/whatwesaid. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That is ritual.com/whatwesaid for 25% off. Rocket Money. This is one of my favorite sponsors because it is something that has genuinely improved my life so much. I've been shouting it from the rooftops. I was just in a conversation with my friend the other day and they were saying, I think I might be paying for that subscription. Like, I don't think I canceled that. And I was like, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. First of all, I feel like trying to go through all of your transactions from your bank or your statements or whatever, it can feel like a very daunting task. And I feel like it's easy to put off. It's also just easy to forget about it altogether. And then you don't even realize that little expenses like subscriptions and things that you've paid for, maybe for a free trial or something that you're just simply not using anymore, how that is actually draining your bank account. And Rocket Money just makes it so simple and hassle-free and seamless to cancel those unwanted subscriptions that you're not using anyway and save you money and help you also just be a little bit more aware of where your money is going and potentially budget all of it. So you can see all of your subscriptions in one place. If you see something you don't want, you can cancel it with a tap. You don't have to get on the phone with customer service, which is one of the best parts of this app. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money, negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Think about all that money that you're wasting that you can spend on things that you actually want to spend it on, or you can save it. So stop wasting money on things you do not use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. Go check it out. Well, I wanted to talk about this a little bit, but I think we've chatted about it a little. There is this quote that literally, like, when I saw it, I was like, wait. I think I sent it to you because we talked about it briefly when we were FaceTiming a while ago. But it basically says, people hate their own art because it looks like they made it. They think if they get better, it will stop looking like they made it. Did we talk about this?
No, but I'm going to need to unpack that real quick. Say it again.
Sorry, I'm like kind of going on a different
tangent. Turn it up, ladies. Turn up the volume.
Basically, it's talking about the concept of when you are creating any type of art. So whether that, again, that can mean anything you want that to mean. Like, mm-hmm. we're just coming from the angle of like being a photographer or creating like imagery, whatever. Basically, it was saying how like, for a lot of artists or people, their art is never good enough for them because it just looks like they made it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes when I'll take photos, like even on my baby moon recently, I was like kind of trying to, I was like, oh, I want to document this.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite clips, like even we were taking some clips for the vlog just like on iPhone, and my favorite clips were the ones Leif took because I'm like,
yeah.
You have, like, that was the vibe.
Right.
And the ones I took, it's like, oh yeah, well, it looks like I took it. Like, because you can't get outside of your own head.
Right.
And it was just basically saying there's like this constant quest for like, you think that if you get better, like, oh, if I get better at photography, it will stop looking like I made it. It will look like a real photographer did it. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I'm in my Pinterest quote era, but I feel like it kind of goes to the quote of like, comparison is the thief of joy. Oh, not the Mormon coming out in me. Welcome to primary class. Sunbeams, here we go. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And like, you, the biggest thief, the biggest felon in that case is yourself. If mm-hmm. you are comparing yourself to yourself and to others, like, you are going to be miserable and you're never going to be satisfied with your work, especially mm-hmm. in a creative field. I remember like back early days, photography, shooting weddings and whatever, I was always, you know, waiting for the better, and I don't want this to sound rude towards like any of my brides, but like the better bride, like the better wedding venue, the bigger budget with the mm-hmm. flowers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not even so that I would make more money, just so that I had better things to take photos of.
Uh-huh.
And I look back on my old wedding photography and I'm like, it's cuter than my photography now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I
That's
was so hard on myself, comparing myself to all these other wedding photographers that were shooting weddings in Spain. Meanwhile, I was shooting them in Gilbert, Arizona, or, you know, all of these different comparisons. And you look back at yourself, and this just comes with age, Valley girls. So if you're young listening to this, don't worry. It will get better.
Mm-hmm.
You look back on the things that you stressed about when you were a teenager or a young adult, and you're just like, I want to punch you in the face. Mm-hmm. You dumb idiot. Like, you are killing it. Like, you look back at your younger self and you're just like, I'm so proud of you. Like, us getting up at 5 a.m. doing photo shoots just for the fun of it, not knowing where it's going to lead. And then like, look where it led to us. Like, mm-hmm. it's so fun. And you can catch me dead doing that now. I'm not waking up at 5 o'clock to do a photo shoot and going to Trader Joe's and making a flower crown. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hire someone to do it. And that photo shoot is going to be at 11 a.m. in the morning.
See, but that's what we need to get back to.
I know.
We need to get back to our roots of like trying hard because we totally. Just want to, and because it's just fun, and because we don't care about the perception, and because it doesn't matter. And like, but I was thinking a lot about that quote because I'm like, for me, and I do feel, I don't want to like project onto you, but I feel like
project.
Both of us are perfectionists in this way, where even when Tyson said he wants to reshoot his cover that we just shot.
Well, you're shooting it, so.
Yeah, that's why I
issue.
Said we're not reshooting. No, it's because I feel like there's that sentiment there almost of like, but I feel the same way about my own stuff. It's
yeah.
like, I do something and I'm like, okay, that was cute for like a week. And then I'm like, well, what's
yeah.
next? What's better? And I feel like the outside person looking at your cover is like,
mm-hmm.
that is literally the most iconic thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like the fact this outfit that you put together, like everything about it is so amazing. But I feel like sometimes that's hard for the person who created it or had the vision
yeah.
to understand like just how cool it was. And I feel like you'll look back at that,
right.
that cover photo in 3 years and you'll be like, wait.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And you'll almost like it better than maybe your current
That's
one.
How I am about the Ty French podcast cover. I look back and I'm like, that was so creative doing my driver's license. That
That's
was so
what
cool.
I told you.
I know, but I rebranded. I'm
oh
sorry.
My gosh. And I love the rebrand. I do. I think the rebrand was the move. But at the time when you're
like
that cover, I'm like, what do you mean? That's the coolest cover that
I know
I've
what you
seen.
Mean. It's a perfect balance of just, once again, coming from a creator standpoint, but just in a wider scale, there's a balance that we need to find within ourselves as human beings of striving for perfection, but also always striving to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should always be excited to grow and improve and to further your bounds and your limits, but without the expectation of seeking perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where sometimes I get tripped off. I feel like I'm constantly seeking perfection or thinking that, oh, if I just do this one more thing, then I'll love it. Then I'll be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But that mindset is not healthy. I need to realize that, like, it's okay to want to grow and to be able to, you know, evolve. But the constant telling myself that, oh, but if I do this, then I'll be happy with it. It's like, that's just not the case. You're never going to be happy with it. There's no end goal.
Mm-mm.
I was actually just talking to Jack Junk, our friend, at the Teza Gallery this last weekend. We were talking about this. When you're younger, and I hate when a bitch comes on and is like, oh, you young kids, like, you know, when I was 21, whatever. I get it. I'm 27. I'm young. But also, I'm feeling old. My back hurts. And I have a receding hairline. I'm almost 30. But literally, when you're younger, there's this competition and underlying insecurity, just not even between other people or yourself, just like the world. Like, you are just thrown into this thing. And the older you get, you realize, like, there is no end goal.
Mm-hmm.
There is no end point. There's no final destination.
And everyone's faking it as
well. Everyone's faking it. Everyone's
growing. Or like everyone's just like trying their best and it's, they don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah. There's
even
no
the people
competition.
You look up to.
Like, you shouldn't be insecure over like what other people are doing or how far they are in their journey or if their this looks better than yours or whatever. It's like, they probably think the same about you.
Mm-hmm.
And the older you get, you just realize, like, I think the older that I've gotten, I feel like my life has become a lot more collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of having, I don't think we've ever had like jealousy or like comparison or whatever. I think that is a benefit of like not being both girls.
Yeah.
And like kind of having our own space. But I am much more excited and open to being like collaborative in like many things, conversations, parties, events, like outfits. Like, I'm much more open to like an outside opinion because I realize like that doesn't diminish my opinion or my creativity or my thoughts or anything, you know? Like, you can only build from that.
Yeah, and we're like more powerful together.
Exactly.
as humans, just in general. Like, that is how, yeah, I mean, again, I guess coming from like the creator space, it's like that's how people grow the most is like collaborating with other people. And
yeah.
Because we all make each other more powerful. And that's why it is so important to like be supportive of other people, no matter who they are, because it's just going to bring that energy right back to you. And you're going to feel so much more inspired and excited to create in whatever capacity.
Totally. I feel the most excited about stuff. Like, the more I help other people, like the more I'm focused on myself and my own self-growth, I feel like is when I'm doing the least self-growth. Like, when I'm also managing my growth, but like making sure I'm spending time like with my crew core people, like not only just hanging out, but like helping them, making sure that they're doing great in their projects and their endeavors, that is when I feel the most inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm seeing how they're doing things and I may be seeing them do it in a different way or I'm doing it in a different light. And then I maybe had this idea that I couldn't quite finish the circle and then I, you know, helped out the Teza Gallery and then that finished the loop, or, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's like what people say, like, get outside yourself. It's that's when you're going to feel the most in your head and overthinking and like, is when you're being self-centered.
Yeah.
Like, there's one thing to care about yourself and you know, try your hardest at everything. But there's another. And again, I think that's a fine line, especially if you do live your life and you share a lot on the internet and you have these outside perceptions. It's much easier to fall into being more self-centered because you almost can't help it because you get so much feedback that it makes you overthink and you just go into this loop of like caring so much about yourself.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's like the times when I'm the most happy is when I am like not even concerned about the perception or anything of me. And I'm just like having fun with someone else. It's like, I'm actually very happy and fulfilled when I'm not thinking about myself all the time.
Yeah. And it just like breeds inspiration.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many, oh my gosh. My whole list, we didn't talk about anyway.
No, I know. I wrote some stuff down too. Is there any like bullet points you want to? My third one is unfollowing people isn't rude. That's one of my hot takes.
That's
for
one of your
media.
Hot takes.
Like,
oh,
if someone
not.
Is making you feel insecure about like if you really feel like an influencer is pissing you off because they like are traveling the world or whatever, that's making you feel bad. Unfollow them. Guess what? I've had to unfollow some people that have six packs lately because guess what? Jock in the Crack has been my best friend. I've had a little too many Pizza Huts and I don't like seeing the six abs on my feed every day. they'll get followed again when I use that Gold Gym membership. Until then, hustle away, muchacho. But yeah. I feel like that's there's facts. Just such a thing, like, if you...
Mute them at the very least.
No. Have some balls, unfollow them. Okay. Unless it's me. Don't unfollow me. No, but like...
both, our followers just drop.
Literally.
We're like,
I'm like, hey, working at Kmart. If you wouldn't, like, there are people that, like, I've met out at bars or whatever that, like, I, like, hung out with in passing here or there, like, literally 3 years ago, that now, if I see them at the bar, we will not say hi to each other. Like, we don't talk, yeah. Nothing. And so I'm like, why am I still following you?
I know. It is actually weird how I saw this video of it's, like, me, like, getting the courage. It's, like, this girl, like, shaking her finger. It's
literally.
Like, me getting the courage to unfollow the girl I met 4 years ago in a bathroom.
In a bathroom.
Like, it's so funny how we just, like, hold on. It's like, oh, I feel bad. But that's why I was saying mute. I mean, I agree. Like, you can unfollow
if you
want. Yeah, you
can mute. I just think, like, that was a joke, obviously. Like, you can mute if you want. I just think we're so conscious of, like, who we surround ourselves with in reality. And we're not aware of the fact that, like, it's scary, guys. Check your screen time today. You're spending more time in this version of reality mm-hmm. than you are in this version of reality. Mm-hmm. You are chatting with your friends more in this version of reality than in this version. Like, yeah. We and you talk way more over the phone and over, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's scary,
if
honestly.
You have negative influences in that version of your reality, in the social media world and in the whatever, that is going to have a negative effect of you in this reality.
It will have a huge effect on you. I feel like that's, you know, they say, like, you're the sum of the people you're around, but it's, like, it's also the content that you're consuming.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times, for me, it's, like, I will literally listen to multiple podcasts, and it's, like, when I add it up, it's like, well, I've been doing tasks all day. It's like 5 hours of listening to, you know, whoever on a podcast. It's like, that's more time than I'm spending with my best friends at that point. So you want to be very conscious of who you are listening to.
And the Valley Girls and the Tyrants are just filling their time with just only education
gorgeous,
and great vibes. Good vibes over here. We never talk crap. We never fill your head with negativity or bad vibes.
My hot takes were that men shouldn't be on social media.
What about the homosexuals?
Only the girls and the gays, obviously.
And the non-binary community. We love our trans sisters and brethren. And the non-binary, the they-thems.
I
sound like Rihanna trying not to get canceled.
And
everyone of all gender appropriations are acceptable.
That's not even a hot take. Like, everyone thinks that, right?
Yeah. Like, except for Leif. He can dance.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Leif's dances are one of the only exceptions. Okay, well, here was, like, I don't know if I want to get into this because I feel
get into it. Guess what? I'm here all day.
Okay, but we got to wrap it up after this one.
Ah, come on. I'm bored.
Just don't use, this is my hot take, is don't use other people's social channels as a template for your own. I was thinking a lot about this because I feel like once something,
she's told me this 1,000 times. I already know what she's about to say.
What?
That if something is working for someone else, you should do the opposite.
That too.
Never mind.
I'm like,
I thought we shared a brain.
No. We do. That was coming next.
Okay.
I was going to give a specific example of, like, you know, someone who's been popping off recently is Nara Smith, Lucky's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen her videos?
Yeah.
Like her...
Trad wife.
Uh-huh.
Peanut butter jelly time.
And now I've been seeing other girls on my For You page, like, essentially just taking that as a template and doing the exact same format of content down to the, like, this morning my kids were craving Cocoa Pebbles, so I decided to... And they, like, do exactly what she's doing. And it like, honestly, is kind of... I guess it kind of is working, like, they're getting views on it.
I feel like a better comparison, not to cut you off, is, and maybe not better, sorry. I'm like, actually, the better thing that you should say, no, Alex Earl. Like, the whole, she started, like, Get Ready With Me. It's like, she made that popular. Mm-hmm. Now if I see a video start with, Get Ready With Me.
Scroll.
Scroll, next, see ya.
Me
but
doing
if
that,
it's
though.
Her, I'll still do it. Like, it just worked because it was her.
I know. I think that just in general, taking someone's, and I'm not saying you can't get inspiration and, the reason I hesitate even talk, I was like, I don't want to get into it, is because then I feel like people expect to go to my TikTok and see the most groundbreaking thing they've ever seen, and they're not going to find anything
it's
groundbreaking.
It's not about that. It's about, like, you can still, trust me, I do Get Ready With Me. It's like, you can do, if your
you
kids want to do
this. You can take inspo, but don't take someone's exact
formula
and try and apply it to you and be like, now
expect
this is,
the same
like, I'm going to do this and also be, it's like, no. That makes sense because it's very authentic to her. Mm. That's why we like her, because
it's just not sustainable. That's exhausting to try and
be
someone to produce content that, like, that just doesn't come naturally to you. Trust me, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done many phases, and I'm sure you have as well through our 12 years being on Instagram. I've tried to be like the other peeps. I've tried to, you know, I wanted to work with certain brands, and I saw what creators these brands were working with, and I tried to copy the template of the type of content that was doing, and it just never landed. If anything, I lost followers, and I lost... a huge demographic because I was trying to be something that just, like, wasn't my vibe and it's not my thing.
Yeah, and it's very hard to upkeep.
I think,
extremely.
I think the hard thing with that is, like, if that's easy to do when you are at a loss for what you do want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't
know
what
your
vibe is. Yeah, think week.
That's why you got to have space to be creative, to think about something that you want to do. Like, even for my gender reveal, I was, like, trying to think of something that, like, I hadn't seen just a million times.
You didn't want to book an airplane and have it blow smoke?
And have people literally the forest catch on fire? No, just, but that was an example of, like, me just kind of, like, sitting, not that that's that deep, and I'm like, I went away to a cabin.
I went away for a week, and I came up with a reel where I wore a pink dress and a blue dress. And then, as I was pondering in the morning with my latte, I decided to go back and forth between the two outfits very quick until it landed on the gender, which is a woman.
Groundbreaking, a woman.
Groundbreaking.
A woman is in my womb.
A woman.
Again, it's like, I don't like to, because then it sounds like I'm like,
no, but
my genius idea, but
once
I'm
again,
just
saying, we don't got to give you a disclaimer. You use that example in the form of the context of the conversation. Obviously, we don't think that's the most groundbreaking thing. We're just using that as a sliver of an example of a bigger conversation. If you don't
because
get that, bye-bye.
My point is, it's very hard to even come up with something creative because, or like different than what you've seen because the internet, everything's been done.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm sure that what I did, I'm sure actually someone else has done that. You could probably find it. I don't know. I hadn't seen it. But my point is, it's like, just, it is important to, like, take a beat, like, take space to think about your own life, your own vibe, your own thing. Like, what do I want to do? I don't want to follow exactly a template. Even of, like, the wellness girlies, that it's like, okay, I need to get up and, like, drink lemon water, and then I need to go on a walk, and then I need to do it. It's like, no. Just do what works for you. Like,
try to be inspired, not copy.
Yeah.
When you find something that you might want to do or you might want to replicate, figure out how that works best in your life and how you can change it to make it a little bit different and unique to you.
Mm-hmm. And not even for the sake of, like, because then you're copying people, just for your own life to run smoothly. Like, you need to do things that, sustainable. You need to do things that work for you. And yeah.
My personal trainer always told me that. My friend Ash, who's been on the podcast before, I would always be like, not right now. Don't take his advice now. But when I was in my gym era, he gave good advice. He was just like, because I'd be like, give me your, whatever your diet is and whatever your workout routine is, give it to me and I'm just going to copy that because you look great. And he'd be like, you're never going to follow that. I eat way too much food than you're not going to eat that. You're not going to make that food. You're not going to prepare. And I work out for 4 hours every day. You're not going to do that. So we have to figure out what you are actually going to commit to, not even commit to, what you can physically
and
do
and what you want to do.
Exactly. And that's why I got out of my gym phase in the first place is because I was way overexerting myself and doing way too much. And then I just got overburnt and I just stopped going altogether. And now look where that got me. So you have to figure out things that are sustainable for you to do if you want it in your routine.
I always think about that because I am so inspired by people who are just like gym girlies. And like I have friends where I'm like, I need to be like you because you're in such good shape and like you're so disciplined. But then when I really stop to think about it, I'm like, do I want to work out 2 hours a day? I'm like, I actually don't think I even desire that. Like it's like you have to figure out your own, your own schedule, your own thing that works for you in every capacity of life, whether that's like your routines, what you're creating, any of it. I have a lot more, but we're actually recording another episode.
Yeah,
that's
and it's
going to
be
out.
An advice segment. So if you didn't learn from these lessons in this episode, come back on Friday.
Tune back
next Friday,
in.
Two Fridays.
Yes. So we're gonna end this episode just because it's getting long, but I love you so much.
I love you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Valley Girls. I love you.
I love yapping and ranting with you.
Listen to Tyrants.
Yeah, go listen to Tyrants for some more rants. You've been actually a bit unhinged in your episodes lately, and I love it.
I won't lie. I feel like my last few episodes have been pretty damn funny.
They have been hilarious. Like, I am genuinely cackling.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
And, like, my cheeks will kind of hurt. I'm like, wow. I am, like, really smiling and laughing. Leif will literally, I'll be doing something. He's like, why are you smiling? Like, I'm, like, cleaning the house with headphones, and I'm like,
oh, I'm just
listening to Tyrants.
Thank you.
So
I love you.
You gotta tune in, Valley Girls. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to watch on YouTube, should have said this at the beginning, you can tune in, What We Said podcast. Go listen to Tyrants, available everywhere you get your podcast. Maybe not YouTube because he's not in his filming era at the moment.
Sometimes when I don't feel ugly, I record.
We love you guys so, so much. And
that's what we said.
Bye.
We love you, Chelsea.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.